He was named Golden Knights head coach on January 15th. He led New Jersey and San Jose both to the Stanley Cup final. A two-time OHL Coach of the Year. Vegas is just 1 point out of first in the Pacific Division. They're at Minnesota tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by the head coach, Peter DeBoer. Peter, nice to have you on. How are you? My bad. How you doing, Peter?
Hey, Jim.
Good to have you. Sorry about that, Peter. That was me. That was all me. Nice to have you back. Good to have you. So last night was your first home game as Vegas Golden Knights head coach. I know the result was not what you were looking for, but overall, how was the experience?
Oh, it was unbelievable. It's the most electric building in the league. The fans pack it in there, and they're loud, and they're on their feet, and it's a combination hockey game and rock concert type environment. So as an opposing coach coming into that building, it was always really tough. It was nice to be on the home bench for it, and the fans were great. We wish we could have given them a better result, but it was a great night.
All right, so you look at the last few weeks. For instance, the team announced that you would be the head coach on January 15th. You made your debut on the 16th, and that was roughly just a month after you and San Jose parted ways. I mean, what an unusual time. What have the last few weeks been like for you?
Oh, it's been a whirlwind. We've had some epic battles with Vegas over the years, the last 3 years in San Jose in the playoffs and in the regular season. So when my phone rang for my next coaching opportunity after I was let go by San Jose, I would have put Vegas right near the bottom of the list of teams that I thought might call. But I was pleasantly surprised and happy. It was obviously a great situation, a great city, and a great team. And I couldn't wait to take the job and accept and get here and get to work.
Right. Like, you made that point pretty clear that you know what that place is about. You know what the passion's about. You know what that fan base is about. But when you take over in the middle of the season, there's always that balance between making changes, but at the same time, you want to be conscious of the fact that the clock is ticking. You've got an eye on the playoffs. So when you first came in, what were some of the biggest things that you wanted to address immediately?
Well, that's exactly right. I had never taken over mid-season before, so I leaned on some friends of mine. Paul Maurice coaches the Winnipeg Jets. He had done it twice before during his coaching career, and he gave me some advice. And basically, it was just, you know, try not to overwhelm them with changes. And so we picked a couple things. We wanted to get at the penalty killing and try and sharpen that up a little bit from where it was standing. And we wanted to defend harder. This is a team that with a lot of talent that's always been able to score, but we wanted to make sure we were defending harder and playing playoff-type hockey. So I think we've had a real receptive group. Even the games we've lost, we've played very well in. We went into Tampa and lost against arguably the best team in the league, and I thought outplayed them for most of the game. And, you know, even the other night against Carolina, we lost at home. We could have been up by three or four going into the third period. So there's been a lot of positive signs and hopefully more to come.
Peter DeBoer joining us. You know, you mentioned that you thought that Vegas might be one of the teams at the bottom of the list that might give you a phone call. If I were to take a step back, like, it would have been really understandable if you said that you want to take the rest of the season off. Why was it important for you to jump right back into this? And why was that the opportunity that made you feel like that was the right reason to jump back in?
Well, there's only 31 of these jobs in the world, and you know, you really can't be picky or choosy. I think that was always my mindset when I got out, and I think coaches want to coach. I think, you know, the idea of having time off and recharging is great for a week or two, and then you start to get itchy to get behind a bench again. So I had had a month off. There's only 31 of these jobs, and if I lined up the 31 jobs in the league, this job would be right at the top of the list. So it was a pretty easy decision.
I appreciate that response. Peter DeBoer joining us. Now, a big part of coaching, obviously, is about relationships and the connection you have to the players. And again, this is unusual because you joined midstream. How do you go about trying to get on the same page as the players and develop those relationships with them essentially on the fly during the middle of the season?
Yeah, that's the tough part. You've got to try and get to know them really quickly, and the nice part was we started on the road. I took the job, and we had 7 road games in a row, which was a little daunting from a coaching perspective, but it was a blessing from getting to know them, because when you're on the road, they're at the rink longer. They're around the hotels. They're not leaving to head home to their families. So it really gave me an opportunity to spend some quality time with them and really try and speed that process up a little bit.
Yeah, Peter, I was going to say, was that the nice part? I mean, they start seven games in a row on the road. I mean, I guess you have to bond and you get to know each other a little bit. I'm not sure that's the nice part, though, right?
No. You know, usually when they make a coaching change, they try and put it in a soft part of the schedule where the new coach has an opportunity to really come in and have some early success. And when I looked at the timing of it and looked that we had seven in a row on the road, I'm not sure I felt real comfortable about that. But you know what? We found a way. We went 4-2-1 and in some tough buildings, and the guys really galvanized. So it worked out.
Peter DeBoer joining us for a few more moments. It did work out. So if we were to go back to Thursday's win over Florida, for instance, Mark Stone had a couple of goals and three assists in that game. But afterwards, you were talking about what he did defensively. When you see somebody like him buying in the way he has, and he's back-checking, and he's giving himself up and sacrificing himself defensively, what does that mean to you and the team to see that?
Well, it's a great sign. You know, the two Stanley Cup finalist teams that I've had in New Jersey and in San Jose, the best players were always the most honest players. In New Jersey that year, it was Zach Parise. He was our captain. And in San Jose, it was Joe Pavelski and Joe Thornton. And those guys, that was in their DNA. They played as hard away from the puck and defensively as they did offensively. And when your best players do that, it's contagious and you really have a chance to win. And when you see that out of Mark Stone, who in my mind is our best player. You know, I see a lot of similarities in the groups between those groups, and that's a great thing.
All right, so you and I talked for a couple of moments about you've had two teams go to the Stanley Cup final. You've coached in countless other playoff games. One of the things, Peter, you said, quote, "I feel I know what buttons to push to have success at that time of year," end quote. I mean, certainly your track record suggests that. There's no guarantee of success, but what are the buttons that you're looking to push at that time of year?
Well, we played in the 4 years I was in San Jose, we played 60 playoff games. So, you know, I think when you go to war with a group at that time of year, I think you have to rely on your depth, and your depth has to feel important. I think you set the table for that during the regular season. So that everybody feels like their part is as important as everybody else's. You know, but I also think, you know, the ability to focus on one team for a seven-game series as opposed to the regular season where you're in and out of cities and spending a little bit of time, I think the ability to get the group to focus on the strengths and weaknesses of that opponent for those 2 weeks and try and come out on the right end of it, you know, is something that we take a lot of pride in.
You know, finally, you mentioned that there's only so many jobs, so when there's an opportunity, you got to take a hard look. But at the same time, I don't think that you're jumping at this opportunity unless there's a lot of upside, and there is. Have you spent enough time with this group yet to get a sense of whether or not the pieces are in place right now to do something special with this group?
There's a lot of upside here. You know, I think every coach that you interview will tell you, if he's being honest, there's always another piece you can add or a part of the lineup that you'd like a little bit of help with. But I can tell you in all honesty that this is a group that is a contender and is very close to having a chance to win. You know, you come playoff time, you have to stay healthy, you have to get some bounces, your goalies have to be good. But we're right there.
Peter, one thought. You mentioned the playoffs. Maybe this is subject to debate. I believe this wholeheartedly. I just feel like the Stanley Cup or the NHL postseason is different than any other in the sense that it really is a war of attrition. You mentioned you want to have the right guys to go to battle with. I'm talking about a month long of playing every other night where literally every single, not just period, every shift matters. What's that grind like, the war of attrition that is the NHL postseason?
Well, that's exactly what it is. I think it's the best playoff in any sport because of the physicality. And, you know, our season's so long and the travel's tough that you don't see as much of that night to night in the regular season. But when you get to that time of year, hockey players have a way of ramping that part up, which I think you know, really makes a difference in the entertainment value in the game. And it really is a war out there. The physical piece of it goes to a whole nother level. So, and the teams that stay healthy get it. The year we played Pittsburgh in the final with San Jose, Joe Pavelski got hurt, Thomas Hertl got hurt, and really affected us. And I think when you're playing for a Stanley Cup, you play 2+ months of playoff hockey to that point, 4 rounds, 2 weeks each round, it is a grind, and your group has to be mentally and physically tough.
So if it's that much of a grind, and it is, and you need to be healthy and you need to have luck, how long before, quote, load management finds its way to the NHL?
Yeah. Well, it's already here. I can tell you that. It is already here. I've had it. I had Joe Thornton. He's 40 years old in San Jose. And, you know, while we didn't healthy scratch him, we definitely managed his minutes and more importantly, his practice days. We've got Marc-Andre Fleury here in net for us in Vegas. And, you know, he's 34, 35-year-old goaltender now that's our starter. And, you know, we talk about load management with him, both in starts and also in practice time. So, you know, we're not at the NBA point where I think we're scratching players yet, but it's definitely in our conversations as far as practice days and off days.
Let's not get there. Let's not get that far yet, but I understand it. He is the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. He was named the Golden Knights head coach on January 15th, led New Jersey and San Jose both to the Stanley Cup final. Peter, you and I are now officially all caught up. Nice to have you back. Great to have you on the show, and good luck. Hope we can do it again soon.
Thanks, Jim. Always a pleasure.
You too, Peter. Appreciate you. Peter DeBoer.